listening to the Positive Professional Podcast with your host, me, Tracy Yvonne. This podcast is a weekly conversation about all things mental health, self-care, and wellness. And there'll be sprinkles of positivity, mindfulness, and guided meditations. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 14. And today I'm going to be talking about another topic that touches all of our lives, and that's stress and the impact on our mental state through the lens of the window of tolerance. I'll explore what it means to be hypoaroused and hyperaroused, and how these states affect our daily functioning, and what we can do to find our balance again. Now, the concept of the window of tolerance is something that I have discussed in previous seasons. And again, it's central to our understanding of how we deal with stress. Coined by Dr. Siegel, it refers to the optimal zone of arousal when we're most effective in dealing with the challenges life throws at us. It's that sweet spot where we're neither too calm or too anxious. When we're within this window, we can function effectively, think rationally, and engage socially. However, when stress overwhelms us, we can either escalate into hyperarousal, marked by anxiety, panic, or overreactivity, or drop into hyperarousal, where we become withdrawn, disconnected, or numb. To put it simply, imagine your arousal state as a volume knob on a stereo. The goal is to not be too loud, which is hyperaroused, or too quiet, which is hypoaroused, but to find that perfect volume where the music sounds just right. Now let's talk about stress. It's not just a buzzword. It's a physiological and psychological response to perceived threats and pressures, and its direct impact on our arousal levels. Under chronic stress, our ability to stay within the window of tolerance can be severely compromised, and here's how. Hyperarousal, this is when our fight or flight response kicks in. Symptoms might include restlessness, irritability, anxiety, and having a quick temper. This state can lead to burnout if sustained over time. Hypoarousal, on the flip side, chronic stress might push us into a freeze mode, feeling flat, detached, and mentally foggy. This can be just as disruptive as hyperarousal, affecting our motivation and our overall zest for life. Understanding hyperarousal and hyperarousal through real-life examples can help to contextualize these concepts, making it easier to identify and manage them in everyday situations. So we're going to go into a closer look at both states with some practical examples. The first one, during a heated work meeting. So here's the situation. You're in a meeting that suddenly turns confrontational, and colleagues are raising their voices, and the atmosphere is becoming very tense. Signs of hyperarousal could be heart racing, sweating, shallow or quick breathing, feeling agitated or aggressive, unable to think clearly or stay focused. And the outcome of this is that you might interrupt others abruptly or speak louder or make quick, impulsive decisions. Next situation, driving in heavy traffic. So the situation is that you're stuck in a traffic jam and cars are honking a lot. You're late for an appointment and you can't find your way out of this traffic jam. Signs of hyperarousal here could be increased heart rate, tense muscles, feeling irritable or angry, experiencing anxiety or panic attacks. And the possible outcome could be is that you might start yelling at other drivers or aggressively maneuvering your car, escalating the risks of accidents. Now I'm going to share some more examples in the next segment. so we're back to our next situation, and that's when facing a deadline. So this could be a deadline that a major project is fastly approaching and you are far behind schedule. Signs of hyperarousal could be excessive worrying, feeling overwhelmed or frantic, difficulty sitting still, insomnia or disturbed sleep due to racing thoughts. And the outcome could be that you may work in a frenzy state, which can lead to mistakes or incomplete work, affecting the quality of the output. Now, here's some real-life examples of hypoarousal. The first one can be you just learned about the sudden death of a close friend. Signs of hypoarousal could be feeling numb or detached, slow movement or speech, lethargy or extreme tiredness, a sense of unreality or disconnection from the environment. The outcome could be that you might withdraw from social interactions or find it hard to express emotions or not react to situations as you typically would. Next situation could be you're sitting through a highly technical and demanding lecture that you find utterly confusing. Signs of hyperarousal here could be daydreaming or feeling spaced out, inability to focus or engage with the material, physical stillness or slouching, dull response to the situation of the class environment. The outcome here is that you may leave class feeling absorbed little to no information, making it difficult to keep up with subsequent classes or assignments. Next is perhaps you were isolated due to a mandated quarantine or due to illness, and this is where you're away from friends and family. Signs of hyperarousal here are emotional flatness or apathy, decreased energy levels, minimal interaction with others, even digitally, disinterest in usual or previously enjoyed activities. And the outcome here is that your overall mental health may deteriorate, leading to depression or anxiety disorders if the isolation continues without supportive interventions. It's important to recognize these symptoms early on, whether it's constant worrying keeping you up at night or lack of feeling even in situations that should evoke emotion. These are signs that your arousal levels are out of balance. Unfortunately, there are strategies that can help us to navigate back to our window of tolerance. So I'm going to break some of them down, and the first is one of my favorites, which is mindfulness and meditation. These practices can not only reduce stress, but also enhance our awareness of our emotional state. By becoming more mindful, we can detect early signs of hypo or hyperarousal. Exercise is like a reset button, and it can soothe hyperarousal and energize hyperarousal, bringing us closer to our arousal sweet spot. Connecting with others can provide emotional support and decrease feelings of isolation, which is particularly beneficial if you're feeling hypo-aroused. And techniques such as cognitive behavioral therapy or somatic experiencing can offer personalized strategies to manage stress and maintain your window of tolerance. Integrating these practices into your daily routine doesn't have to be a daunting task. Start small. A few minutes of meditation daily, a brisk walk, or reaching out to a friend can all be a great starting point. Now, as I wrap up today's episode, remember that navigating stress and its effects on our arousal states is a journey. There's no one-size-fits-all answer, but with the right tools and strategies, you can find your way back to your window of tolerance and lead a more balanced life. So here's to finding your balance and thriving. For listening and supporting this podcast, and make sure you're clicking the like and subscribe button. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Stay safe, be well, and don't forget to be the best version of you.